And now, more of the Ricky and Rose Show with Hall of Famer Ricky Jackson and veteran sports anchor Roe Brown on WBOK 1230 AM. Call in at 504-582-9422.
Welcome back to the Ricky and Rose Show on WBOK 1230 AM. What New Orleans is talking about. Momentarily, we'll see if we can hook up with Kirk Clayton out in California. Yeah. Yes, City
Rose,
Champ.
I got
Lewis
Lips on the phone,
Ro. You got Lewis Lips on the phone. Okay. All right. Do you want Wick to call him? Is that easier or what?
I mean, he on the phone now. You want to speak to talk good now, see how it sounds.
Well, hello, Lewis.
Hello.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good, my man. How are you?
Okay. All right. Good to have you. This is Roe Brown, and this is Ricky and Roe Show on WBOK, 1230 AM. What New Orleans is talking about. City Champ, Ricky got you on the show, and good to talk to you, sir.
Yeah, man. Good to talk to you as well.
All righty. Give you a little introduction. I think most sports people will know. He's a Wildcat. He's St. John and all that good stuff. Then he went to Southern Mississippi, number one draft choice when he came out. Around 20, 25, 20 something, somewhere in 23. The 20s. 23. Okay, I was close. That's close. Yeah. Came out. Yep.
Get it right now.
I'm trying. I'm doing this kind of by memory, Lewis. Doing it by memory. And of course, went to the Pittsburgh Steelers and, you know, was pretty much a Steeler. Played a couple games here with the Saints, with the hometown team, but a couple Pro Bowls and all pro accolades. Welcome to the show, Lewis Lips.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Where are you now?
I am in Pittsburgh still.
Okay, in Pittsburgh. What are you doing?
I renovate houses, man.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, so I'm a little handyman, I guess, as you call it.
Okay. You know, renovate houses. It sounds like you're more than just a handyman if you're renovating houses.
Yeah. But yeah, well, I use that word so I don't get too many phone calls. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. When the last time you've been in St. John Parish, man?
Oh, my gosh, man. I guess a few years now. At first, I had made the decision to come in town like at least a couple times a year, and I did that successfully for about the first 4 or 5 years, and then I got real busy up this way and couldn't get away like I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good that you're busy.
Yeah. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining, but I just can't see my people often enough.
I got you. I understand what you mean. Yeah. City Champ, what do you have to say to this gentleman?
Well, as long as he's ducking that COVID, bro, he can work and be by himself, and he ain't got to be around people.
Exactly. Lewis, I should have asked that first, man. Everybody all right in your family during this COVID time?
Yes. We all good, man, and God bless that. But, it's a crazy time. That's a crazy time.
We're talking to Lewis Lips, outstanding wide receiver, kick returner, the whole works with the Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, like I said, East St. John High School and the University of Southern Mississippi. You know, I just thought about something, Lewis. You don't know any colors but black and gold.
I'm so glad that you noticed that.
I just thought
that's
about
right.
That.
High school was black and gold. College was black and gold. Pros was black and gold.
Oh, okay.
And the Saints was black and gold.
Exactly. Was this all by design or it just happened that way?
It just, man, you know what, man? By the grace of God, that's just the way it happened, man. You know everything.
Bro. No, I don't.
Hey, Rick, you still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
hey, Rick, you mind if I tell him a story?
Yes, absolutely. We love stories, especially if they're about the City Champ.
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned that I played for the Saints for a few games there. Well, when I was there, the big HOF number 57 was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I forget who we had played. I think we lost and we came back. And so, you know, we came into our team meeting, and Mora comes to the front, you know, and he does his first, you know, his little game time speech or game after the speech. And, you know, what we did, how we did, what we can do better, blah, 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 blah. So Jim Mora, in the front of the whole team, makes a comment, and he says, well, fellas, I know we're not going to win all our games. And so I put my head down, and I looked to my right, and I looked to my left, and nobody said nothing, and about 15 seconds later, this big voice comes in from the back. Oh, hell no, coach. Uh-uh. Look, we can win all our damn games. I don't know why you said that. Rick, you remember that?
Yeah, man.
And I went, yes, indeed. Now, I can play with that man right there. Yeah, Rick spitting him out quick.
I can't.
No way somebody's going to tell us we can't win.
For real, man. I was like, wait a minute. That's what I saw. I said, ain't nobody saying nothing? What the heck? Man, Rick said, oh, hold up, coach. Hold up, coach. Uh-uh. No, uh-uh.
That's a great story, Lewis. That is a good story.
Hey, man, that's what you call leadership, man. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
How many years did you overlap with Hall of Famer John Stallworth in Pittsburgh?
Four.
Four.
Yeah, 4 years.
What was that like?
My first 4 years, actually.
What was that like? What was he like?
Oh, man, it was an unbelievable experience. I mean, you had to be my shadow to be able to experience it. But he made learning the system, getting myself acclimated to professional ball a whole lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
As you see some of these rookies, man, I had my playbook wide open, and I'd look at the play, and I'd read it. Then I'd close the book, and I'd say it again to myself. And then I'd say, oh, yeah, well, I got to do this. And then in cover two, I got to do this. And cover one, I got to do this. So I was doing that, and Stallworth looked over to me, and he said, man, what the heck are you doing? I said, well, I'm memorizing my plays. He said, you can't memorize your plays, man. He said, learn your route tree and listen to the verbiage in the huddle from the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because the routes are always going to be the same. An in route going to be an in route, out route going to be an out route, post going to always be a post. He said, you got to acclimate yourself with listening to the quarterback call and then studying your defenses. He taught me how to watch practice, study game film after we've practiced. You know, don't just watch it because coach said we got to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to sit there and watch it, get something out of it. I can go on and on for hours, man. He was totally amazing, man. He helped me become the player that I was.
Mm-hmm. He always struck me as a real cerebral receiver. You know, he just looked that way to me. You know, he just looked like somebody who just knew everything that was going on.
I mean, man, he made the game for me so simple, man. It's unbelievable.
Oh,
yeah, he was something else, man. I'm telling you.
We're talking to Lewis Lips. I'd call him one of the great players that we produced out of the state of Louisiana. On the Ricky and Ro Show on WBOK, 12:30 a.m., what New Orleans is talking about.
Lewis, how much of time you have with Lewis Warren?
I got a few more minutes if you need it.
No, I said, how much did you have with Lynn Swan?
Oh, Swan, no. Swan retired before I got there.
Yeah, he was gone before. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, I thought he was.
Yeah, he retired in 83. I got there in 84.
Why'd you go to Southern Miss?
He was trying to bring you in to catch up with what he did, you know?
Yeah. Sounds good, my man.
Why'd you go to Southern Miss, Lewis? Not that anything's wrong with it, just, you know, I mean, who else recruited you?
Well, you're right. Nothing was wrong with that because that was the only college that gave me, that offered me a scholarship.
Uh-huh. What?
So, you know, if that was my goal was to go to college, that's why I had to go. That's where it was a freebie.
Who was that there? Bobby Collins? Was he there? Who was
Bobby Collins? That's exactly right. Bobby Collins and then Bobby Collins 2 years and Jim Carmody 2 years.
Jim, yeah. Right, I remember him. And you know, I'm going through my mind on all this, you know. You missed the state championship, right?
Yeah. I missed the state championship with my high school. Uh-huh. I missed the conference USA championship with the college.
Come on.
I missed the Super Bowl championship.
Come on, Lewis. I didn't mean to bring all that up. I mean, I just know that you got out in 80 and East St. John won the state championship because I called the game in Lake Charles that night.
That was the year after I left.
That's right. That was your freshman year, I guess, at Southern Miss. Was that
right? It was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Timmy Bird and all that crew. Phil Greco was the coach. Right. Was Phil your coach?
Yeah.
The year before.
Phil Greco. Yes.
Yeah. Phil was there. Yeah. Uh-huh. Talked to him not long ago. He's doing fine. Doing fine.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah,
oh my gosh, man! If you see him before I do, man, you make sure you tell him I said hello, man.
Well, you know, he was the athletic director at Rummel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's retired from that. He retired like 2 years ago. Yeah, I think it was.
Oh, okay, because I know we got him from Shaw, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think that was before he went there. Yeah, before he went there. I think he was at Shaw.
Yeah.
Yep. Talking to Lewis Lips, like I said, one of the most versatile players. He had Johnny Rogers on the show a couple days ago, and I asked him about returning punts and returning kicks and his philosophy on it. What about yours? I mean, you were a heck of a returner.
Well, I give a lot of credit to that because I was a better baseball player than I was football player. And I was an outfielder.
I remember that. Yep.
So in order to throw people out at bases, you know, you got to time the catch and the throw. And so getting underneath the ball and looking to see where the coverage was easy for me. A lot of people can't do that, but it was easy for me. I could watch the guy tagging on second, and I'm coasting at the same time, coasting underneath the ball, and I'm still looking, yeah, this guy's going to tag. I got to catch and throw. And so when I'm back for a punt return, it's the same way. If it's a really high, high kick, now I get a chance to really see, you know, where the coverage is, you know, where the ball is, and then if I should catch it or if I should fair catch it, you know. So that part of it for me came easy.
Yeah, I did remember you being a baseball player, and I remember it, Lewis, because I think you would agree with this. Most people, reserve in that area was almost one of the last areas where you had high school baseball players who could play the game, and they were African-American, and they had them in numbers. You know what I mean? Especially when you were there. You just didn't see that a lot, okay? You know, why was
Very
that?
Much.
I mean, where did you guys come from? I mean, who developed you guys? Because there were a lot of you. Darryl Nicholas and all those people. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know the names.
You know how today parents trying to get their kids out of the house. Well, when I was growing up, man, we was playing so much, our parents was trying to get us to come inside just to take a break, you know, rest yourself for a little bit, then you can go back outside. So that's all we had to do, man. And I mean, we did that all day long until the street lights came on, we had to get home. You know, so, man, I can remember, man, we used to play striking out with a broomstick, and we used to throw rocks at each other. Or we would ball up aluminum foil and play striking out throwing that with a broomstick. You know, so you know, I guess that's gotten lost because I haven't seen that situation in a while.
Yeah, you guys, like, you know, like that's how I grew up. You guys were playing ball when you didn't have a ball.
That's right. That's right.
Didn't matter. Right. Didn't matter at all.
Right. I guess, bro, we were playing sandlock, bro, and didn't have no pads, no helmets or nothing.
Same thing. Yep, same kind of thing.
You remember the wiffle ball? You remember the wiffle ball?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The ball with the holes in it?
You could look like
we
me.
Used to play striking out with that thing, too, man. Yeah.
You know what we used to do? Coke bottle tops. We used to do coke when I was growing up.
You're talking about 100 years ago.
Wait, that's right. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And I bet you, Ricky Jackson, you couldn't hit a coke bottle top, okay? You couldn't hit it. You look like a major leaguer throwing a coke bottle top, okay?
Oh, man, I'm telling you what. Yeah, you can make that thing do some things, man.
And if you could hit it, you know, then you must have been pretty good, too.
Yeah.
City champ, what you got to say?
We did, man. So,
Ricky, what you got to say for yourself?
Oh, man, I see Lewis every year at George Rogers event, man, and we have a lot of fun, man. And I tell you, man, that's once a year. We're going to miss it this year because he had to call everything off, but all the Heisman trophies be there and all the, you know, the great football players and stuff we get a chance to hang out with and be with, man.
Yeah.
Time up there in South Carolina every year.
I definitely gonna miss that, man. That's a great get together.
We're talking to Lewis Lips for a minute or so more on the Ricky and Roe Show on WBOK 1230 AM. What New Orleans is talking about. Most memorable moment of your pro career.
I would have to say beyond getting voted Rookie of the Year, it was getting voted MVP, team MVP, twice by my teammates. So even though, I mean, you hang with them guys, you know, you're in the locker room, man, and, you know, you go to war with these guys every day, every week, every Sunday. And then at the end of the year, you know, irregardless of whether we had a winning season or a losing season, say, hey, man, look, you know what? You was a part of why we did what we did. You know, so even though it sometimes it may seem like they're not appreciating what you're doing, at the end of the year they show you, and they did it for me twice. So that was among the top, no doubt.
I saw something on your bio. What was the Joe Green Great Performance Award? Said you won it in 84.
Matter of fact, I was the very first one to get that award. They started it my rookie year.
Oh, okay.
And they gave it to the most outstanding rookie for that season on the team.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, and, you know, given Joe's, you know, background and the way he carried himself throughout the term that he was in the NFL, you know, they give it to a rookie that personifies what, you know, he laid down when he was there.
Roe didn't know that you were Rookie of the Year. Roe didn't know that.
He didn't know that.
I did know that. Goodness. Don't listen. Lewis, don't listen to him. I did. He's just being messy.
I was going to say, Ro, you didn't study yesterday.
He's being messy. Well, Lewis Lips, thank you so much for talking to us on the Ricky and Ro Show. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Always enjoyed watching you, just seeing you float along, catching those passes and returning those punts and kicks. Good to talk to you, sir. Thank you very much.
Hey, man.
Thank you for having me. Oh, yeah, Rick.
I'm going to give you a holler.
Yeah, man. Anytime for you, man. You're the man.
All righty. Thanks a lot. That's Lewis Lips.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Lewis Lips, St. John Parish product, East St. John High School, like I said, Southern Miss, Pittsburgh Steelers, and a couple games with the Saints. Two-time All-Pro. Thank you for lining that up, Mr. Jackson. He was excellent.
You like all them St. John guys, all them Blue Valley boys. That's what you like. Florida boys, you be trying to duck.
Oh, listen to you. Listen to you, Florida boy, and I like you. Right?
Sometimes.
All right, moving along. Our next guest is, like I said, native New Orleanian. Ricky, this gentleman, when he was in high school at Scotlandville High School up in Baton Rouge, he went to Xavier Prep first and then went up to Scotlandville. And at the Pelican Relays in 1965, I think he tied the world high school record for 100 yards, tied it at 9.4. Jesse Owens held that record. and he shared it with Jesse Owens. Then went on to Grambling, and then the San Jose State was there for Speed City and all that good stuff, running with people like Tommy Smith and John Carlos, and Bud Winters was the coach and the whole works. Then went on and had a whole another career in education, being an educator. Welcome to the Ricky and Rose Show, Mr. Kirk Clayton. How you doing, sir? Hello, Kirk.
There he is.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Yeah, I'm here, man, and surviving COVID so far. So good.
How you doing? Good to talk to you, sir.
Same here.
All righty. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. I'm on here. I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of talking to the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Ricky Jackson, who is my co-host.
Good, Jackson. I know the name very well. I've seen you play a lot, young man, and great job.
All righty. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Carter G. Woodson High School and all that good stuff here in New Orleans. And then you went on to Xavier Prep.
Yeah, well, yeah, I started at McDonald number 38, the old McDonald number 38. And then on to Carter G., Shakespeare Park, and then on to Xavier Prep. Yes, sir, sure did.
Xavier Prep.
Prep cut out sports. And I was there with Wayne Reese, and we lost Wayne recently. So, Miss Stella Reese, I hope you are surviving this. And so, it was a great, great, great time at Woodson and in New Orleans. And we just did a number of great things there.
Mm-hmm. Then you went on to Scotlandville up in Baton Rouge and did great things there. Talk about that.
That's another life, because they discontinued sports, and I needed a school to attend. And I was in Opelousas, and I saw the school with the, and I asked, what's the name of that school? They say Scotlandville. So I ended up in Scotlandville because my sister went to Southern, and I ended up there, and the rest is history.
From there, you went to Grambling for a little while.
I did.
You left Grambling. Go on.
Mm-hmm. I chose, actually, Grambling chose me. Eddie Robinson recruited me, came to my home, and I wanted to be a professional football player. Because track was just a sideline, keeping me in shape for football. And I ended up at Grambling for about a year and a half. But then I got really motivated to run track for the Olympics in 68. So I decided to make some calls and left Grambling and came to California.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's another history lesson.
San Jose State in 69. You guys won the NCAA national title. Outdoor national title. I think it was in Knoxville that year at the University of Tennessee. And, you know, talk about those times and all that California, Speed City, and all that good stuff.
Well, you know, Speed City was a means to an end. And we won the championship there. But most people don't understand is we were first, I was professional track running when I left Grambling. And I ran for the Santa Clara Youth Village. And that's where I met Tommy Smith and John Hollow. I didn't go to attend San Jose State that first year. I went to community college and received my AA degree and then went to San Jose State. Bud went off me a 3-year scholarship, so I had 3 years to compete with San Jose. And that's where I met and Carlos and all those guys from the Youth Village came to San Jose. And that's how Bud Winner ended up winning that only championship in 1969.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Kirk Clayton. Native New Orleanian and outstanding track man in the 60s and has gone on to do a whole lot more in his life, and we'll get to that. You were around in 1986, and you look at things now, Kirk, and being a child of the 60s myself, I guess, how do you feel about what you're seeing as far as athletes really getting involved in social justice and political issues and the whole works right now?
They are, to me, neophytes learning the game of protest. We found ourselves in the heat of it. But when you don't know your history, you think what you're doing now is the greatest thing since sliced bread. But we found ourselves protesting and boycotting the 68 Olympics and all these things and the Project for Human Rights. We did all that then. We were not part of the Black Panthers and all those other groups. We had our own group. And we felt athletics could be a platform to let America know that we needed support. And not way before Black Lives Matter, because we mattered. You didn't have to tell us if we were black. We knew that. So I'm just trying to grasp some of these new evil things that they're doing now, and the athletes are protesting, kneeling, and all these things. That's great if that's your thing. But we still found out that we were still Americans, and we stood at the flag, we saluted the flag, we did these things because we were Americans. And if you're not, then there's a problem. And we were drafted. A lot of us were drafted for Vietnam at that time as well. So we had to represent this country. And I rang with guys like Jimmy Hines, Mel Pender, Charlie Green. Those guys were in the Army. So they had to be upstanding citizens. So we took a lead after them, although we were wanted to boycott, but we still felt America was our home. We didn't have any other place to go. So anyway, that's my short version of that.
Mm-hmm. They would say that. They would say the same thing. So you don't believe that they're kneel. Why do you think they're kneeling?
I saw that when I first saw that. I just was stunned, really. I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. Because, see, black people have been on their knees forever. So why do I want to get back on my knees? I want to stand up and face this world and beat the hell out of it. I don't want to be on my knees trying to do that. So I don't understand the kneeling. You know, so I think the black folks right now, we're going backwards. Mm-hmm. We're not progressive. The New South used to be, when I grew up, we called it the New South. We were high steppers. We wanted to make sure you understood that we were there for real. We weren't just a summer soldier. And so, anyway, and I don't want to quote Tupac. You know that drill. So I just do believe that we are great athletes, had an opportunity to defend this country, if not on the battlefield, but on the track field. John Carlos, Tommy Smith, we competed together. It was a team effort. They got the statues and all that. That's great. But when they were with me, I was the captain of the team that they were on. So my point is, we had only not only protesters with Harry Edwards, but we also were leaders. Mm-hmm. And that was the key compared to what we have now. And I don't see the people that's doing the kneeling leading anybody. You know, they're not even in the game plan. Mm-hmm. So we need to stay in the plan to get the program done. Anyway, that's my short version.
504-582-9422. We're talking to Dr. Kirk Clayton, city champ. What you got to say?
Yeah, man, I was running 9.495 then, too,
bro. You were, huh?
Yeah, I was running 9.495, too.
Uh-huh.
But, hey, Doc, I understand what you're saying, man. That makes a lot of sense. I never really looked at it like that because I see people kneeling and going on. But that makes a lot of sense what you're saying. Like the other night, I look at LeVon James. He was kneeling and he put up the Black Power sign like the guy did in 6 to 8 Olympics and stuff, but he was on his knees doing it. But I understand what you're saying, and a lot of people, you know what I mean, they ain't had nobody explain it to them like that. And but I think that, you know, once somebody explain it to them like that, I think they'll stand up and do it. I mean, because, like you say, you should be standing up high if you're trying to get somewhere and get over and let people know that you what kind of business that you mean. You should be standing up. You got the business dealing down. So I understand that. I mean, but by you saying it now, it gave me a better point of view of it. But before, I just never did pay no attention, just like a lot of them not paying no attention. But if somebody, you know, enlighten them to what's going on and the way it should be, I think a lot of those young men are doing it. But it'll be way more dangerous and if they stand up and do it. It'll really light a fire that, I mean, like the 6 Olympic did. I mean, you know, as long as they kneeling and LeVon James ain't the only one doing it, you ain't going to get no lot of, you know, feedback. But if everybody stand up and do it, it'll be, you know, it'll turn into a whole different fire, you know.
I love that thought, sir. I love that thought. And just like when you played ball, you didn't look down. You kept your eyes straight ahead, man. Because if you look down, you get that up. So you
got
to
get your eyes. I can hit what I can see. If I can't see it, I can't hit it.
You can't see it? Can't hit it. Anyway, gentlemen, my friend, my really, really emphasis right now is dealing with a program that has been long forgotten. And that was called, the LIALO, which is the Louisiana Interscholastic Literary Organization and Athletics there in Louisiana, which was forgotten in 1969 when the LHAAA decided to make us all white and all athletics turned white in 1970. and they trashed all of our records. No one knows Kirk Clayton. You know, hey, who is he? You know, I heard him. He didn't run with LHAA. So we are trying to have a banner, a plaque, or something developed for this organization, and I've been pushing this now for the last 5 years. And the biggest thrill I've gotten out of it was an article in the Louisiana Weekly paper, and I think I sent it to Ro, regarding my exploits. And hopefully, between now and 2021, after COVID is out of the way, we can get this organization recognized and get some of the great athletes way before Kirk Clayton was forgotten. And I would like to do that, and I'm working hard to do that. And we have a website called www.AfricanAmericanHighSchoolsInLouisiana.Before1970. Pull it up on your phone right now if you got a phone, and you can go to Orleans Parish or East Baton Rouge Parish, and you can read about some of the great athletes in the state of Louisiana, because we have every school in Louisiana on that website. And we have a lot of color for the dropouts, because, you know, dropouts love color. So we have that color on there to perk up their interest, to get them motivated to read this website and really learn about the history of where we come from. And we were great then, and we are better now, and we want our youth to be better. And that's what I would tell Mr. Kaepernick and any of those other guys that's out there that's emulating and what they think protest is all about, to really understand what protest really is and what you're going to accomplish at the end of the day.
We're talking to Kirk Clayton, and yes, we have had Russell Hill on the show that you know very well, who kind of started that website. Done a very good job on it. Every time you look at it, you find something different, and you find something good pictures and information in the whole works. And yep, it's African American High Schools in Louisiana before 1970. Importance of education, Dr. Clayton. What would you tell kids?
Education is the key. You know, one thing about knowledge, you can't take it. It's like love. Love is always in the heart. So no matter they tell, you know, if they, whatever they say to you, I love you. Okay, yeah, great. That's great. But where is your heart? Education is in the heart. Not only in the mind, but in the heart. And if your heart is in it, then you'll be a great educator, as I believe I am. I have two master's degrees. I mean, pardon me. Two doctor's degrees, four master's degrees, bachelor of science, high school diploma, AA degree, and nobody can take those things from me. You know, so I think, but I learned from guys like Winston Burns, Walter Banks, you know, Coach Stewart, all those guys at Grappion, all those guys at College G. Woodson, Xavier Prep, Bullet McGee, all those guys were educators. And it's kind of funny that the Burns family was a big family. And Mrs. Burns always said, God, you know, I got more sons than I have daughters, you know. And I found out Coach Burns had a daughter. I said, God, Coach, I didn't know you had a daughter. But anyway, we learned from those educators, guys that who taught us well. And Herman Back, we used to call him Pooh Nanny, you know. Guys like that, you know, who really got into us. And guys like Samuel Holden and Curtis Anderson and those guys, we all got together and just really did a job in education. Now, if I tell a young kid, don't let anyone fool you. Go to school. Get some knowledge so when you stand up, they may not hire you. I've turned 70-plus, and I can still line up if I want a job. So never fear. Just keep living and learn.
Well, Dr. Clayton, it's been a pleasure, as always, to have you back here on WBOK, on the Ricky and Roe Show, in this case. City Champ, what you got
hey,
to say?
Where you at these days, Doc?
I'm out in Southern California. I lived in Arizona for 10 years. I went there to start a teacher's college, again, back to my education. And we have a teacher's college, Goodyear, Arizona. And now I'm in Southern California, in the city of Hawthorne. And we're working on developing a teacher's college, California. So I'm still teaching. I will never retire. I will always be an educator because I found out that that is the way to go. So that's where I am, and that's what I'm doing.
Oh, man, it's great talking with you. And like I told Roman, I had a guy back in 1968. He ain't never played more than two quarters, and he was the best football player I ever seen. And so I take my hat off to you.
I would love it. And like I said, you were the same. And like I said, we love to rub each other on the shoulders because we're always standing on someone else's shoulders. And I am as well. So, Ro and Rick, man, I really appreciate the time. And let's do this again.
Dr. Kirk Marshall Clayton, who is also a member of the Greater New Orleans Sports Hall of Fame as well, I should mention. Good to talk to you again, Doc.
Same here, Ro. Good talk.
All righty. Kirk Clayton. Kirk Clayton, outstanding sprinter and also educator and the whole works, Mr. City Champ.
Somebody smarter than you.
There are a lot of people smarter than me, you know, including you.
Ooh.
Don't forget, big time sports.
You hear Wick say, "Ooh, now I heard that way."
That was not Wick, okay? That was not Wick, all right?
Oh,
that was.
I sure not thought of Wick.
That was not Wick. Okay. Hey, what do y'all have next? Big time sports show. Reggie Flood. What are y'all doing? Can you tell me what you got? You got anybody on? What? Come on. You got a little time. You better come in here and say, Kiki, Baker Barnes, get in here. What?
Yes, we have Jen Hale coming on at 6:20, and we're going to have Candace Cooper coming on in the 7 o'clock hour. Jen Hale's going to talk about the Pelicans. We're going to kind of close out the season for them, and Candace Cooper's going to talk about college
season
sports.
Already closed.
All righty. I heard that. Ricky Jackson, thank you very much, man. Have a good time down there in Pahokee, Florida, your hometown.
All right, man. Y'all have fun.
Reggie said bring back some rabbits. Wick, thank you very much. This has been the Ricky and Roe Show on WBLK 1230 AM. What New Orleans is talking about. Bye.